something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
Donovan has to babysit Sting's kid.
We talk about our new TV pilot.
Plus, Gord, Byrne, Bruce, and Stephen Page. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, what's this button do?
Please.
What's this button do?
I urge you to not touch that button.
Play some Phil Collins.
Look, we're waiting for your dad, but I'm not your babysitter, okay? I'm very accomplished. I've got friends in high places.
Oh, and fuck even off, though... Donovan. You call me a fucking baby?
First of all, play mind some your Phil P's Collins. And Q's. No F-bombs here. Secondly, just because Sting is your dad doesn't mean you get to run the place, okay? I have friends like...
Fuck off, Donovan!
Your language is atrocious.
Get me something to eat! I want some egg and beans!
Do you have a last name? Or are you one-word nightmare like your dad?
Oh, fuck off, Donovan! You know what your dad's last name is? Sumner?
First of all, you'll stop telling me to F.O. I've only ever been told to F.O. once, and it was by George Michael's keyboard player, and I deserved it, frankly. So you will not sit in here and tell me to F.O. It'll be I telling you to F.O. if anyone's telling anyone, yeah?
Let's have a go at this Nintendo, then.
Why don't we have a go at sitting down and eating your clotted cream?
Put it on the big screen. Turn off those graphics and put on the Nintendo. I want to play Mario.
I know you wouldn't understand because you've never had to work a day in your sodding life. But we're actually in the middle of something that doesn't involve you.
You know Daddy's not coming back, right?
I thought self-absorption skipped a generation, so I thought you might be spared.
You do realise that you'll be watching me for the next 6 hours.
Okay.
You know that, right?
First of all, because your parents are having tantric intimacy.
No, I saw Daddy leave with a Victoria's Secret model in the back in the Maserati.
Where did you learn to talk like that? Second of all, do you have any friends? Thirdly, does your mum spend any time with you?
I thought I told you about the egg and beans. I'm hungry. Come on. Donny.
Oh, please don't call me Donny. There's only two people that have called me Donny. One's Boy George and the other is the Queen.
Oh, the Queen.
You haven't earned calling me Donny.
Did you know my daddy fucked the Queen?
I'm sorry?
My daddy. He had sex with the Queen.
Did not.
Yes, he did.
He did not make a toad in the hole with the Queen.
He didn't even enjoy it, he says.
He did not make frogs hollow with the Queen.
Yes, they made the beast with two backs. They did.
He did not give the Queen the green gown.
Yes, he did. It was behind in the Hampton trailers in the Wiltshire.
He did not smash pisses with the Queen. That's awful.
Donovan, the ultimate
having to
babysit
Sting's kid.
Finally,
holy cow,
a reoccurrence.
My friend Andy lent me Andy Sumner's autobiography.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And I'm not that far into it, but he is a great writer, man. And he talks about how this show at Shea Stadium, like the kind of prologue, he wakes up in this rented mansion in the Hamptons that the police has rented in 1983,
mm-hmm.
to shuttle out by jet to their dates on the East Coast this summer. And he's like, every morning I woke up with a foreboding sense of like, well, this is it. We've been on number one on MTV for 2 months. we have sold millions and millions and millions of records, but the band is just hanging on by a thread, and this is going to be our last show for sure, because there's no way we can make it to another show.
Yeah. They
imagine.
They were hating each other so much.
And I'm not far enough into the book yet to know if Andy hated them, but I always got the sense that Sting and Stewart hated each other, and Andy was kind of the referee.
Pretty much, I would say. That was probably the main deal. And Andy, yeah, I mean, they're all kind of, like, intellectually ridiculous, all those.
Yeah.
And, you know, musically as well as just book-brained, you know what I mean? So they're kind of like, you know, that Pink Floyd or even Radiohead, you can tell they've read way too many books, you know?
Well, once a page, I have to stop and look up a word.
Yeah.
at least. Like, he has quite a vocabulary, and he's quite poetic in his writing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating. I'm really stoked to be reading it.
How about he wrote that killer line in Message in a Bottle, that guitar part?
Unbelievable. And the thing that I don't get is, if you play guitar at all, it spans, like, just the lick spans 6 frets, 5 frets.
Yeah.
And he's a small man with tiny hands. I don't understand how he does it. Because I can play, you know, 16 bars of it, and my hand is cramped for 2 days.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
He wrote that the guitar lick in their biggest hit, Every Breath You Take, right? And it didn't get a dime for it. How about that?
I know.
That sucks.
I know Sting always talks about how he woke up in the middle of the night and wrote the song in 20 minutes, but the whole song is that lick.
But not that guitar part.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The whole song is really Andy's guitar part.
Yeah,
my friend sure. Andy also lent me Stuart Copeland's autobiography, which is apparently pretty hard to get through, because the majority of it is Stuart making a case for how the Police was pretty much him.
That's funny, because they have very similar egos, Stuart and Sting, so that's why they were at loggerheads so much.
Well, and Andy said Stuart in the press, like, Sting was obviously a darling because he was kind of moody and arrogant and good-looking guy and all that stuff, but Stuart alternately in the press said, I made Sting, and we're lucky to have a front man like Sting.
Yeah. Well, because he put the band together, right? It was kind of his inception, Stewart.
Yeah, and plus Miles Copeland. Yeah. And there was another Copeland, Ian Copeland, maybe?
Well, Miles is he's a giant in the music industry.
Yeah, but is he related to Stewart?
Yes, they're brothers, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wasn't Stewart Copeland, like, born in a plane?
Yeah, he was like a military brat or something like that, or his dad was a diplomat or something like that, where he'd just be constantly going around to different places and, like, crazy places. Like, living in Saudi Arabia one summer and then going to live in the middle of, like, Czechoslovakia or something.
Bananas.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember he was, like, born in a plane over the Atlantic Ocean or something.
Probably.
Bananas. Yes. Hey, bud.
What?
Guess who saw Bruce Hornsby on the Noisemakers? Oh,
that's it. You did.
This was a crazy thing. We were on vacation for a week. We camped for a week. There was so much swimming and biking and barbecues and bonfires and s'mores. It was awesome. Beautiful. And I really promised myself it was going to be a vacation. So it was. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back, we stopped in Freeport, Maine to see Hornsby in the L.L. Bean parking lot.
Swank.
And Carol had the genius idea to buy camp chairs at L.L. Bean.
Oh, yeah.
So we were sitting down, we were partying, we were ready to go, and out comes Hornsby. And I would say the only knock is the sound system wasn't awesome.
Yeah.
It was pretty hard to hear where we were. But it was one of those, like, because he spent time with the Grateful Dead, right? He was out on tour as the second piano player with them for a few years. So it was one of those, like, the set list was probably 4 songs long. And each one was like 18 minutes of good old-fashioned jamming.
Ding, 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 big solos.
Yeah.
Wow.
And everybody gets solos, like fretless bass guy gets solos and drummer gets solos, and it wasn't four songs long, it was longer than that.
Like six. But,
and he also just can't for the life of him sing the melody.
Oh, he's got to change it like Bob Dylan styles?
Yeah. And I was going to try to get a video of Get a Job.
But he didn't
But it was Get a Job, Job, like one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the other thing I realized.
He went all Van Morrison on it?
He went all Van Morrison on it. This is the other thing I realized, and I can't believe it took me this long. Standing in line, marking time, waiting for the welfare dime, because they can't buy a job.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. Man in the silk suit, which is very of a time, hurries by, and as he catches the poor old lady's eyes, he says, just for fun, get a job. He yeah. rhymes job with job.
Yeah, why not? What is there? There's no playbook when it comes to rhyming.
I guess. So, happens by the letter of the law, does the word job rhyme with job?
It sure does. Right?
I don't know.
Sometimes people go with the same job and they change every other word for a lot of times. Those stupid songs. Know what I'm saying?
Well, I know that something that Kanye does is rhyme like, huh? Right?
With meh?
Well, we were picking up sticks, huh? You know, had the whole click, huh? I went to bed and she was doing tricks, huh?
Is the part that brings it back?
Well, the has rhyme.
That's the tie-in?
Yeah, that's the tie-in.
That's the tie-in. So it was, he just kind of jammed it up. It was one of those, like, more improv than...
Well, here's the thing. He played the hits. He played End of the Innocence, mm-hmm. which is the song that Don Henley made famous.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you listen to it, it has heavy Hornsby piano vibe.
I hear you.
And he played Every Little Kiss, and he played The Way It Is. Yeah, he played some good ones, but he came out with a couple of barn burners that were deep cuts that only fans would know.
Barn burners.
Like, he started with a jam called The Red Plains that was on The Way It Is, and it is a barn burner for sure. But, like, me and four other people there were like, ah, no way.
Whoa.
Because it was a free concert, so I don't know that everyone was found it as Hornsby as I did. You know what I mean?
Was it the range with him, or was it just Bruce Hornsby?
No, it was Hornsby and the Noisemakers.
Oh, it's a different band? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
The range are out?
Yeah. But do you know the story about Bruce Hornsby and Allen Iverson?
The range is in the pasture. What's the story about Ally?
Hornsby's a big basketball fan. And he played varsity basketball, and his kids both played Division I in the States.
Nice.
But when The Way It Is was on top of the charts and he was making a bunch of dough, Al Iverson, I think, was a high school student making some bad decisions, and he got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And Hornsby contacted the coach and said, is there anything I can do to help Al? And so they arranged for Allen Iverson, high school student and promising basketball player, to go visit Bruce Hornsby. And they played one-on-one. And because Hornsby is a piano player and he can't injure his hands, they have piano player rules. So the piano player rule is, if you miss the shot, the other guy gets the ball automatically and you're automatically on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a rhythm thing and it's hard to get used to, but they didn't want Bruce Hornsby to hurt his hands when he's playing ball out on the road, which is something that he does to stay in shape.
Yeah.
So Bruce Hornsby beat Allen Iverson at one-on-one.
In piano rules.
In piano man rules. And Al Iverson went back to the team and someone said, what'd you do yesterday? Just in casual conversation, he's like, oh man, I played one-on-one with Bruce Hornsby. And the guy that he said it to went, and the motherfucking range? That Bruce Hornsby? And Al Iverson was like, yeah, that one. He's like, bitch, don't be telling people you played basketball with Bruce Hornsby in the motherfucking range.
No way, really?
Yeah. That's Hornsby awesome. Beat Al Iverson at one-on-one.
Don't tell anybody that.
I love that story so much.
Bruce Hornsby and the motherfucking range.
And Hornsby and a few other dudes coughed up some money to help with Al's schooling.
Wow.
So they're still really good homies to this day.
That's classic. I didn't know
that. I know. What a good story.
That's really great.
Hornsby also was the only white dude on his varsity basketball team and became really good friends with Spike Lee.
Oh, wow.
And ended up doing the soundtrack for one of Spike Lee's movies. I can't remember which one.
Nice. That's a good... I love the depth of Bruce. Brucey. One of the good... I know. Bruce is one of the good ones.
Bruce is one of the good ones, man. And he plays... he plays piano on I Can't Make You Love Me, the Bonnie Raitt tune, which is one of the best tunes in history.
Yeah.
He was in Grateful Dead, man. He's got some gears.
There should be a chapter called A Few Good Bruces.
I know. Well, he's the only good Bruce because I was thinking about it.
Well, Coburn, he's another good Bruce. There's a few.
Oh, yeah.
There. Yeah.
But remember, we came out swinging against Bruce.
Oh, I know. Because
Bruce was a verb for jerk.
Well, there's a lot of them for sure. But
a lot of jerky Bruces?
A few good Bruce. Hey, I'm in the basement, so if you hear like footprints and footsteps and dog running, perhaps barking, maybe you hear the furnace start or stop or the tankless water heater kick in.
Do you have the furnace on?
No, I'm saying it's just the air conditioning or whatever it is. Oh. You know how it is in those little spaces in the basement that make all
utility
the
room
and all the noise.
Well, I the reason I ask is because I'm outside in the bus and it's so windy.
Great.
But it feels like fall. That happened so fast.
No, it's really windy here too. So, you got to bear with us, folks. We might be a little bit of room volume, some ambient noise.
Let's talk about a couple of things
Before we go to that, thinking. Well, I was thinking about the ambient noise. We got to give the shout out of the year to Olivia Nancy Oxford.
That's Tim where Oxford's I was going.
New baby girl, Sarah and Tim. Congratulations, Bods.
Congratulations, Bods.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Carol and I were talking about it on the drive. First of all, 00 is the coolest initials ever.
Yeah, for sure.
Olivia Nancy Oxford, her initials are ONO, which is awesome.
Mm hmm.
Really happy for those guys. That's a big deal. And, you know, what a journey they're in for.
Yeah, man. Good times. So good.
Super fun alert. And the second thing is, today is the day that Jay and Dan are back.
Yeah. Midnight tonight.
So the deal is the show airs, like the original airing is at midnight and then it repeats at 8 a.m.
Well, repeats right away until 8 a.m. for 12 hours.
Oh, it's on a loop.
Yeah, it goes into a loop at 1 and just goes. Unless there's like playoffs and then it goes later and then it loops after that. But yeah.
Crazy.
Just like the old days at Much. Remember the loop till noon?
Yeah, I love that though.
Yeah.
4-hour loop. If like a Virgin was on the third song and the start of the loop, you'd wait 4 hours.
You're like, I remember this is coming up.
I really remember it.
You really remember it.
One more thing. I'm using Carol's cell phone because it rained and our home line was super crackly.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous at 2017 that rain is still affecting the phone lines.
Well, for Bell Alliant in rural Nova Scotia, it seems for whatever reason to play a part in my telecommunication ability.
If you go to the plant and you see like one of those water things going around the wheel to power it, maybe that's the issue.
Yeah. There's a guy with a hard hat walking in a hamster wheel.
Some Jed Clampett looking mask.
With a baler bucket.
Yeah.
There's water on the lines! It's 1957. Water on the lines!
He's got those hip waders. Look at all the fucking water. Help me out. Hey, guys, help me out. Because there's no one else.
Hey, Ed, a little faster if you could, bud. I'm the only one down here. There's all kinds of water. Mayday.
Come on, you assholes.
Oh, man. We got a Mayday situation. I'm working Labor Day.
I've been bailing since this morning.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back with more TNT.
Would you like some egg and beans? Fuck off! You're not my mom!
Hello.
Thanks for coming with me, Laramie, to this new restaurant.
No problem. I love it.
Driven by it a whole bunch of times. I thought it looked right fun. Senor McGillicuddy's.
It does seem fun. It's like Mexican and Irish.
Yeah, it's pub. Like Mex-Irish or Irican or something friggy like that.
And, like, look at all the cool, the wait staff. You have, like, there's, like, guys with their, like, they, with their, like, remember that Salvador guy? Like, that kind of guy there. And then there's, like...
Yeah, like, no shirts on, but there's some guys with sombreros and other ones with kilts.
And there's actually a little guy in a leprechaun suit.
Ever cute. I wonder if they went to Ireland and found real leprechauns. Or I wonder if they stole Mexicans while they're having siestas.
Hey, there's a... what do you think of this menu here? What are you looking at?
I think it's right fun. It's like, do you remember when you were a kid and the toast crumbs got in the country crock dish? Like, it's kind of a mess, but it kind of tastes good. Like, some of these things sound right delicious.
What do you want to start with, this, like, guacamole Dundee dipper platter?
Well, I was thinking the Cornish enchiladas sound pretty good, too.
Well, this the cod ceviche.
Well, there's fish and chips and guac for starters.
What's this Blarney Plato Salado, Mexican corn on the cob and scotch egg?
That sounds like a friggin' Wheel of Fortune clue, but I bet it's right delicious.
How you doing? How are you?
Look at this little fella. What's your name?
My name is Gary.
Gary? Ever sweet?
I'll be your waiter.
So are you a real leprechaun or what?
Come on now. Can I introduce the specials for you guys?
Aw, listen to how he said it, Larry. That sounds awesome. Yeah, go ahead, little guy. I'm just going to bend down and whisper right quiet like you do when you see little people.
Yeah, the sausage tacos. Special tonight, also the poblano Jamaica slaw, jicama slaw with cabbage onion crock. And the pescada potatoes. Beer battered fish potatoes and tostada.
Aw, say it again. It's right cute to watch you talk with your little mouth.
Yeah. Can I get your drink?
What is the toad and the guacamole holy? Is that a drink or is that a lifestyle? I mean, what even is that?
What? There's also another... O'Reilly's enchiladas with Guinness.
Aww.
Special.
You know what? I'm going to go with that. That sounds good.
All right. Can I get you a drink, ma'am?
I guess so. Is this, potato Corona? What is that?
It's a stewed potato with a Corona sauce.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, it kind of makes me barfy, but I can't tell if I'm excited or not.
Perhaps you'd like to have some time.
Well, just tell us about your life a little bit. Like, do you live at the end of the rainbow? And have you ever seen a pot of gold? And do you think Frosted Charms are magically delicious?
I don't have all day, ma'am. Can you hurry up, please?
He's getting right angry, Laramie.
You know what? Andrea, maybe give the guy a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Thanks, senor.
He's like a little chihuahua.
All right!
I just want to take you home.
That's
and pet
enough.
You. Put
what
you in my pocket.
What can I get you?
I'm going to get a car seat for the Cavalier and take you around to me when I do errands, Giant Tigers.
Poor Gary.
Poor Gary.
He's getting roasted by Andrea. What is Andrea's problem?
Well, I think she genuinely thinks he's right sweet.
No, I know.
She's not being hurtful.
No, I know.
She genuinely thinks it's right neat. I love the idea of countries combining to come up with
restaurants.
Super dumb restaurants. There was one in Halifax called Alfredo, Weinstein, and Ho. And the idea was, like, you could get pasta, you could get a deli sandwich, you could get Chinese food. Like, anything you want. And the menu was about 40 pages long, which already makes me skeptical.
That reminds me of when Gino was... was it Gino Vanelli was doing the pitch, the commercial?
For what? For Mrs. Vanelli's? Yeah,
the ads, I don't know, but it's like you're going through all the different things. You can do this, you can have that.
Right, there's Fusilli.
You get ravioli, you get lasagna.
Why hasn't Gino Vannelli done a commercial for Mrs. Vannelli's?
Yeah, wasn't it? But it was also the ad when you did Gino, when we did Gino and Joe, the theatrical trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
get out of my face, Joe. Salisbury Hill kicks in. You know what we should do sometime?
Huh?
We should do top five movie trailer jams.
Sure.
Because there are some staples that are so overused.
Like, oh, yeah, for, like, the narration.
Without even thinking about it, I can think of four that are an eye roller.
And the world changed.
Salisbury Hill has to be retired. That's, like, off limits. The other move is, like, the 50s Jackson 5 kind of jam for, like,
a family comedy
yeah, where everyone's coming home for Thanksgiving.
That's what we used for the Gino Vannelli and Joe story.
Is it? Yeah. Like ABC?
Yes.
Like to tug at your heartstrings? I'm going to see if I can tee one up right now.
Oh, no. For
I think I know what it's called. Just a second. I'm going to turn my volume down, gear it up.
Fast cars, Calabrian sausage, brio. Fresh bread. Good conversation.
Okay, my video's going to play after this ad, and this
Hot
is the...
girls!
This is the, like, Dennis Fantina didn't know what the future held for him. But from the time he was very young, he was really good at math.
Yeah,
that's Paramount such Pictures. The overused movie trailer song.
Powder, too.
Let's list them.
What?
Coldplay Clocks for sure. Salisbury Hill for sure. Jackson 5 like ABC for sure.
And I got the power of those bells. The ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding.
Awful.
Remember that? I think it was one of the most classic ones of that was the trailer for with the Robin Williams and with the gay couple and they live, what's it called?
What was it?
The one with the other, that hilarious English actor.
What was that? Oh, no.
You know the one I'm talking about? That's like I, for some reason, can't remember it.
I was thinking Nathan, what's his name?
Yes, it's Nathan Lane. That one. Nathan Lane and Robin Williams. That movie.
What was that? Like Birdcage?
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't it a remake of a European film?
Yeah, and everyone in the Maritimes is like, bird. Here's another classic.
But it had the jam in that trailer of that movie. If anybody can remember.
Remember this one?
Oh, no, yeah.
Jeremy Taggart. Lisa Taggart in the Taggart family.
Oh, no, yeah.
You got
Mom,
the music in you?
I can't find my hair dryer.
Yeah.
Big crazy scene before they're going on a trip.
We gotta get out of here, guys!
But what Jeremy Taggart doesn't know is that everything is about to change.
Dad, I'm pregnant!
What?
We're supposed to go to Fort Lauderdale and you're pregnant?
That guy wearing his ringer tee, just giving her every ounce of 1998 he can squeeze.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
He's got the music in him.
Yeah.
Len, Steal My Sunshine, also enjoyed a moment in movie trailers.
Yeah. Some Celine Dion.
Celine? The Celine Solution? Last night, I was involved in the whitest thing I've ever done in my life. We're having lots of dance parties on our back deck this summer. And the girls are super into the Hornsby since we went to the Hornsby concert. So we were awesome. Doing a full family coordinated dance to The Way It Is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And if anyone drove by, I don't know, it might have been the end.
Whenever that part, the girls would throw out the get a job, singing along too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's classic.
Rhyme now job with job, that. Bud.
Got to get that on video. Them doing get a job.
Get a job.
Get a job is a fun game.
Get a Job is a super fun game.
We should maybe bring that one back.
We should this is the thing with the podcast. If we're peeking behind the curtain, we like to come up with new games all the time, and it's really fun, and some of them are awesome, and some of them are okay, and some of them are, you know, probably ones we won't do again. But when Mike the Bud asked the people, what were your favorite things, universally, almost, it was the duos, like Gordon Burney, Donovan and Phil, Andrea and Laramie. That's what the people tend to like.
Yeah.
So we should stay true to those characters that people like. Like, find a balance between new stuff and old stuff, because we shouldn't let the Andrea and Laramie thing die. It's so great.
And above all, we just got to keep it organic and fun.
That's it.
Because you can't play out stuff.
No, that's the thing.
Can't play it out the honka honka.
Can't play it out, bud. So let's do this in a surprising move.
Oh, what?
Let's take a break on TNT 117.
Well, but we have... Should we maybe throw out the big information? The deedle dee 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 dee.
That's a good idea. We'll do breaking news on the way to break.
We are filming a television pilot for a TNT TV series September 26th at the Lower Deck in Halifax. We have a website or an actual email address you can try and win yourself on the guest list. It's TNT Show Tix, T-I-X, TNT Show Tix at gmail.com. Send us your name, and if you get one of the choice select seats, we'll get back to you with all the needed information.
Yeah, and let us know how many folks you would like to come with, and we'll try to accommodate everyone if we can, but it's a small space. It's actually the tap room, which is on the top floor of the Lower Deck building.
Yes.
And so space is fairly limited, but it's really exciting, and we want to have buds there to represent and not only see the show, but be the show.
Exactamundo.
Exciting.
So let's go to that break.
BRB.
Come back, will ya?
Man, we're here. We're
at Cabot. Can you believe it?
We're at Cabot.
Unbelievable. Golf trip of a lifetime. Had a couple drinks. Had a nice dinner. Turn in early. Hit the ground hard tomorrow.
Yeah, seriously.
We have some balls to hit.
I can't wait. Like, we're going to play 36 holes at least tomorrow.
I know. We have to get started the first 18 early. And then we'll have time to sneak in a second 18.
Yeah, so like, wake me up when you get up.
Okay? Oh, wake you up when I get up for sure.
Wake you up. Wake me up when you get up.
Yeah, when I get up, I'll wake you up, I promise. And if you wake up, you wake me up when you get up.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But
so whoever's up, wake the other guy up.
Well, you always get up like a crack of dawn.
Yeah, I know, but it could happen. I might sleep in, like with the time difference and everything.
No way. So anyway, I'm going to shut her down now.
Okay, I'm going to shut her down too. Wake me up when you get up.
You wake me up when you get up. Okay, see you in the morning, bud.
I'll see you in the morning, bud. Have a good sleep. Hey, wake me up when you get up.
You wake me up when you get up. You know?
Okay, like, stop saying that. I got it. Hey, Colin. Time to get up, bud.
Hey, man. What's going on? Why are you all dressed?
Oh, it's, dude, it's 11:15. I've already played the front nine. You want to join me for the back?
I told you to wake me up when you get up,
I told you to wake me up when you got up, but you were sleeping so peacefully. I was like, man, you didn't wake up. So I hit half a bucket, and then I was like, well, I might as well play the front nine.
11 o'clock. It's fall, man. It's going to get dark at like 6.
That's what I'm saying. So you better get up when I get up tomorrow.
Fuck, man.
I had, with Mark Hallett, my neighbor across the street, we had wake me up when you get up. Wake me up when you get up, for sure.
Definitely.
And then the first person to wake up had to wake the other dude up when he had a sleepover. I love wake me up when you get up.
That's a great example of wake me up when you get up. And
did you have that too?
I was more like the I know you're getting up early, so don't wake me up guy.
But so if don't I was like, you were a don't wake me upper?
No, if I was at Cabot Links, I'd be like, wake me up when you get up 100%. For sure. I would throw that out there.
Okay, if this was a movie, speaking of movie trailers, if this was a movie about us, we have a lot of stuff to do tomorrow, so we can't let tonight get out of control.
Yeah.
Here's the movie trailer song that would play in the montage of us getting out of control, okay?
Okay.
So I'll say, dude, we have a lot of stuff tomorrow. We have to keep tonight low-key. And you say for sure.
Yeah.
And then I'll hit the track.
Okay.
Dude, we have a lot of stuff to do tomorrow. So let's just, honestly, let's just keep tonight low-key.
For sure.
Woo! There we are at Smooth Herman's in Cape Breton doing Jager bombs.
One of them's pulling off a guy's wig.
Which is running actually away happened.
And the other guy's laughing.
Yeah. And there's a girl across the bar eating an oyster. And these guys exchange a glance like, we can't go home now.
And then another one of the guy hitting the guy's bottle on the top and big foam flying out and them all laughing.
And then somebody dies. And the next morning, we're sitting on a cliff looking out at the ocean going, what happened? Okay, and so you say, what happened, dude? And I'll say, I don't know. And here's the track.
And it, okay.
You say, what happened, dude?
Oh, what happened, dude?
I don't even know.
Oh, there they are growing up. One of them's in jail.
A little California dreaming?
Yeah, one of them's in prison.
This is Tag Tour International proudly presents an epic road tale of truth and consequence.
And it shows the guy all, like, 20 years later, all messed up. He's super harsh.
And it has California, he's gnarly looking, and it has California Dreaming playing.
Yeah, California Dreaming is playing, and he punches out an old lady in a Shopper's parking lot.
Aww.
And like steals her purse, and then her teeth fly out, and he drives over the teeth with her car.
And he runs her over by accident?
No, her teeth that he knocked out.
Drives over her teeth in a squeal?
Yeah, in her car that he stole.
Her, like, Caprice classic.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tee up this other...
He's just a mess. He's a nutcase.
Trying to tee up this other movie trailer song that would be like the, come on, dude, it's time to leave work. Come on, man. We have the weekend of a lifetime plan.
I don't know if I can make it, man.
What? So that's it. Your guy tries to bail on the weekend, and then my guy convinces him to go.
Yeah.
My guy doesn't wake him up when he gets up, and the movie is all about the consequences of a hit of that. Of him not getting up.
The movie's called Wake Me Up When You Get Up.
Yeah. It's like Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, the movie. So as a result, it's my fault that you punch an old lady in the face. Dude, wake me up when you get up. For sure. Wake me up when you get up. No, for sure I will. I don't know who those dudes are, but I kind of like them.
Yeah, they're a couple of dunces.
Just a couple dunces. What was the dude, where's my car? It's like those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, hey, so where's my car?
Guess what?
What?
I showed you photographic evidence of Rebel rolling over, right? You saw that. He's dialed everything down and to the point where he's even like got the pissing controlled.
Come on.
Yeah, because the pissing was a real pain in the ass.
Where does he do it?
We got these little fake grass mats.
Yeah, pee pads.
Yeah, but they're fake grass, like AstroTurf vibe. Like if you cut out a piece of like...
it's PistroTurf.
The Blue Jays outfield.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's two of those, and he pisses on those on the reg. But he was definitely, like, you know, trying to mark his territory. I don't know if he couldn't tell that thing from any mat or rug. So anytime there was a rug, he'd, like, lay some piss on it, or, like, even one of those logs. They're always exactly the same, right? The Henry logs. They're little tiny logs.
Tootsie Rolls, yep.
Tootsie Rolls with... Tootsie Rolls with the pinch tips.
Yep.
But yeah, he's pretty amazing. It's only been a few weeks, and he's doing it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a little dog thing.
Isn't they're smart, right?
Well, I don't know. A dog expert suggested that our kinds of dogs were bred for companionship, not for smarts.
Okay.
Like, Yorkies, for example, are great ratters. and mousers. But I don't know that they are, especially Morkies, because I don't think Maltese are very smart. So I don't think they were bred for their geniusness.
No, but they can. I'm sure there's lots of them that can do all the tricks that you see.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just, I guess it's tough when they got a thicker skull, right?
Well, and really, it's also tough when they have a smaller bladder, because if you live in an apartment building with a tiny dog, you'd have to let them out 30 times a day.
Well, who the hell would do that?
That's what I'm saying.
That's why you have the fake grass.
That's what I'm saying.
And then we have the wash. You rinse the shit out of that thing every day and a half or so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and there's a pee pad underneath the grass, so it's not like just collecting piss on like drips.
Right.
It's like a big diety under there.
Yeah, but it is. It's like a tiny amount of volume.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't just sit there and like let out the big wine, the wine skin rip.
So does Annalise love on him hard?
They all do, yeah.
And is he okay with that? Like physically, yep. Like hugging him and holding him tight and all
yep,
that?
Annalise will grab him, pick him up, and even if he growls a bit, like he growls a bit, and he'll get angry if he's hurt or something. Like he got stung by a bee.
Aw. On the horn?
No, right on his leg, and he was, because he was jumping after them. He was like, party, let's rock. You know, like flying through the air, dives at the bees. And he like landed on one and did the big running away. But, it, you know, when it was hurt, if you touched it, he would get mad and think he'd try to nip at you. But that was just when he was hurt. So no,
Henry got stung right on the hammer last summer.
You did?
Henry.
Got stung on the hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was not great.
He must have been just paining. And then speaking the shots of
hammer,
get
are you going to give him? Is Rebel going to get the nip and tuck?
Oh, sack be gone, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Balapalooza?
Probably, but we might actually. There's a dog that we know that's the same kind of dog that we might fire off a litter.
No way.
Maybe.
And then sell them?
Well, sell them or give them to Bods and family, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to put on some Boys to Men, light some candles, and shove them in a closet
just
and see
what
happens?
Yeah. Give them a little bit of the old, fantastic weekend, and then after that, he can go back to solitary lifestyles.
Wow. Have they met each other yet?
Why not, right? Have a big... It's like the big batch weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the movie. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But it's the dogs. Like
Salisbury Hill.
Into like some room with them.
So you're going to force him to climb up on Salisbury Hill.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maybe. Whatever. If he starts getting out of hand, I don't know. You might have to line him up with a snip.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. That's what we did with Hank.
If he gets, was he just trying to pound everything that walks, or?
No. I think we were proactive in that regard.
Because, I mean, he already kind of, like, does it once in a while. Like, if your arm's out there, he'll start doing the hipsies.
Giving it the business, really?
The Elvis, yeah.
No way.
I think that's a little young, isn't it, for being horny? Or is so that just, like, instinctual horniness?
Well, how old is he?
He's only like 13 weeks.
Right.
So that like...
So do you have to explain to the kids what's happening?
Not really, because he's not... It's not like when you see an older dog doing the big, Energizer Bunny jackhammer on you.
Right.
It's just like a mild... We can sense it, because he's got his arms around you, like the dolphin styles, grabbing you in.
And there's a baby carrot. Undercarriage?
Well, I'm sure, yeah. That would, I don't think that's happening when you feel the pokes happening.
City.
My dog, when I was a kid, would do the big, all of a sudden he's on your back, and then you look down and there's that big red nightmare coming at you. Came out of the sheath, you know those things? The big,
Well, spend time around a horse.
Oh, jeez.
Just saying.
Yikers Island.
Yikers Island. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go to visit Gordon Byrne.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Be right back, buds.
Fucking right, eh? Well, thanks for coming into the office today. It's always good to see you, Bruce. And, well, I mean, the calendar's looking great this season here. And
oh, that's great. I wonder if I'll have some time to write some tunes in there at any point. Is that possible, Bernie?
We'll get lots of stuff sorted for you. You know, we work hard around here.
Look who's in from out in the cold. If it isn't Bruce sitting with Bernie. You know, you're not the only one that has a friend. Excuse me while I make a call.
Let's look at these dates here. See if you like any of these venues compared to these ones in
boop,
Cleveland.
Boop, bat, boop, 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 boop. Hey, Stephen, Gordon Lightfoot calling. How fast can you get down here to Bernie's office? Great. See you in a few seconds.
You could do the ballroom here. You could do the arena, but we might need an opener.
Yeah, we think we'd need an opener.
Oh, hello, Bernie. Bruce. Nice day to give someone a hand through the window.
Hey, Gord, how are you?
I believe you gentlemen know my esteemed colleague, Stephen Page. Hi.
Hey, Gord, hey, Bruce, how are you guys?
Not to speak for Stephen, but never Steven. Better, to be honest. In fact, we were just putting the finishing touches on our idea of a duets record.
That's great and everything, but is now really the time for this?
Actually, I can't think of a better time. Have a seat, gentlemen. This is just one of the songs that will appear on our record.
That's cool.
Every night in my dreams I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you go on. I already asked Celine, she said it was okay.
Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you go on.
Bruce?
Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that my heart does go on.
Once more, you open the door, and you're here in my heart, and my heart will go on.
What do you think of that, Bernie? That has ratings gold written all over it.
This isn't the time or place for this kind of stuff. I'm trying to get Bruce's schedule sorted here.
Really? Well, Bernie, what if I told you could actually participate in one of the songs?
It's okay, Bernie.
What if, Bernie, I told you could actually participate in one of the songs? You know how to count, right? As in, count all the money that I've made for you over the years?
Very funny, Gord. You know I can count.
So say the number one and then keep counting when I pause.
One.
You're like a dream come true.
Two.
Just wanna be with you.
Three.
Girl, it's plain to say that you're the only one for me and...
One.
Repeat steps. One, two, three.
Two.
Make you fall in love with me. If ever I believe my work is done,
then we'll start it back in one. It's all by R&B singer Brian McKnight from the United States of America. He's on board, too.
That's nice. That's a fantastic song. I can't say no.
But here's our barn burner. Bruce, you can jump in on this one if you know the words, too. Do you know it?
This Nirvana?
When you're singing and it's Nerdvana. With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us.
I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now, entertain us.
A mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido, yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
What do you think, Bernie? This thing practically writes itself.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that you're doing this stuff, but I just don't think this is going to go over with the kids, you know? Doesn't really make sense.
Bernie, since when have you been in touch with what the kids want? You didn't even think I should record Daylight Katie, and that was a barn burner, too.
Guys, I don't think this is the time or the place. Maybe we could go into the forest and talk about this.
Are you on glue? Why would we go into the forest to talk about anything?
Well, I mean, we should be in the forest more often, to be honest. There's a lot of trees that are getting taken down in this neighborhood, I noticed.
Steven, don't you have anything to contribute to this conversation?
I always thought that you fancied my brother.
Okay.
Okay, guys, that's enough of this. Let's call this.
Have a good day, Bernie. Bruce.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
See you later, guys.
That was our first four banger.
Four banger.
Holy cow.
Burn.
That's a bit of a mind melter, isn't it?
It was.
Whew.
Jams, though.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, as yeah. sung by Gordon Lightfoot, Stephen Page, and Bruce Coburn.
Whew. Something about the... Bruce Coburn loves talking about the libido.
Yeah.
The libido.
I bet Bruce likes to get down.
Well, I'm just saying because of the ecstasy line in Lions. That's all my own reasoning.
Some kind of ecstasy's got a hold on him. Guess what today is, Bot?
What is today,
Bot? It's a big milestone day in the Torrens household.
What's that?
Indy has her first piano lesson. And Shug has her first circus class.
No way.
Yeah.
Because it's a big day in our household today.
Why?
Because Annalise has her first hip-hop dance class.
Are you being serious with me right now?
I'm not kidding. I'm not joking.
I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, she wanted to do it. And there's a great dance studio right down the street from us. So
there you go.
She's into it. Yeah.
Is she? Does she have her old man's moves?
I can't dance so much. I got rhythm, but I never learned. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess you were always sitting playing.
Yeah, I got the rhythm, but I just can't waltz or anything.
Would you do, like, the night you met Lisa, if she was like, let's go on the dance floor, would you soldier through it? Or would
Sure, I'd be like the hopping around fun dance. That would be my style.
Right.
Keeping and jumping in time, but...
Well, that's a good dance, though.
But if, you know... 30 years, 40 years ago, or even longer, you would learn so much more dance-wise. You'd know like 5 or 6 steps and the waltz, and there's something to be said about that.
I like the partner dancing.
Well, I mean, it's hard to do, and once you actually do it, it's fun, but it's also something that's, there's something about it. Like, it's like you connect to the time and the music. And when you're, like, jogging or playing guitar or piano or drums, you're connecting to the music. But when you're in the arms of somebody else, it kind of strengthens that vibe. So
yep.
There's something cool about that for sure.
It's a vertical expression of a horizontal intention.
Whoa!
That's what dance is. I took ballroom for 2 years in junior high, one of those we need more guys things.
Mm.
And my feet were too big, but I really liked the idea of it. And when you see people do it well, it's quite something to see.
That's a good one. My feet were too big.
Hey, in the...
Hey, I got a game right now that I just came up with.
Okay, let's do it.
Condoms or no condoms?
Oh.
It's, you have to name someone in history and if they use condoms ever or not.
Oh, my gosh.
All right?
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
And we can start easy, like Humphrey Bogart.
No condoms.
No condoms. Hideo Nodome.
John Mayer.
Let's call it Hideo. Like, remember the pitcher, Hideo Nomo? Hideo Nodome? So going Hideo is the same as, like, not wearing a condom. It's also, you could say, I'm going Hideo, like, without a helmet when you're riding a motorcycle, like, taking a chance. Going Hideo when you're driving without a license.
I don't understand the reference.
Hideo Nomo was a pitcher, a baseball pitcher in major leagues.
And what was his thing?
It just was Hideo Nomo, and Hideo No Dome is just for some reason funny. So saying going Hideo.
Oh, okay. So Hideo is wearing one, and Hideo Nomo is not.
No, Hideo No Mo means no dome.
Okay.
So it's like anytime Hideo is mentioned, there's no condom being used.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, man, I went Hideo last night. Bad idea.
Okay, Hideo is no dome. And then why don't we do domo, no, as in arigato when it's a dome.
Okay. And this is
domo, this funny domo term
that was popularized
domo, amongst, domo,
amongst my friends back in like 10 years ago, like Avery and Adam Campbell and Willie Gunn and the guys from Barry. So there was, Hideo has a good roots.
Okay, so mine was John Mayer.
John Mayer?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he had to go domo for sure.
Really?
Yeah, of course. Ever? Like no domes in his life?
Well, let's discuss the parameters of the game then.
It means like they've either used them or never. Are you saying like have they ever not used them?
Well,
because that's you can't do that because that's everybody pretty much.
Okay, so is the point of the game like would they largely use them or not?
People that have bought condoms in their life and people that haven't even bothered to buy condoms.
So we are talking about people that have never purchased them?
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's why I said Humphrey Bogart. Or like, you know, the Three Stooges guys, like Curly Howard. I bet he never had it.
Okay, The Weeknd.
The Weeknd? I'm sure he's domo, man. Gotta be domo these days.
Well,
but, like, I don't know, maybe Charlie Sheen? Hideo, maybe, right? Because that guy seems like he's not the most thoughtful when it comes to taking care of himself.
Okay, so all I have to do is pick really old people.
Or wrecking balls.
Right. Has Gary Busey?
See, that's debatable.
Ever bought Jimmy Hat?
Jimmy Hat. Hideo for sure.
I had a friend who referred to his bird as a Smurf house.
Joe DiMaggio.
No, no. Hideo.
He said I had a friend what?
Who referred to his bird as a Smurf house.
Why?
I don't know. I suppose it was kind of shaped like a mushroom.
But it's all big and short.
I cannot confirm. I don't know.
Floppy?
It's the kind of thing that made me laugh, but the more we drill down on it, the less comfortable it makes me.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yikes. Get your creepy...
Okay, Donald Trump.
Oh, see, that's a good one. I'm going to say Hideo. Probably never bought one in his life.
Same.
Probably rife with all kinds of syphilis and whatnot.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow, that had never occurred to me.
Well, apparently syphilis has been known to cause heavy dementia, which might make sense of his mad, not narcissistic qualities and like flip-flopping on everything that he talks about.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's like a lot of great people in history, famous people died of syphilis because they just were going Hideo.
Come on.
Yep.
I don't know if Hideo's going to root the same way that seeing snakes has, but I'm all about it. I'm happy to try.
I think it might. It's like, man, made a big mistake last night. What? Went Hideo with Julie. Bad idea, dude. I think, I gotta go to the doctor, dude.
I bet there is research to suggest which side of this is true, but I feel like the kids are probably not.
Yeah.
I feel like the kids are probably not nowadays.
No, in reference to Hideo, it'd have to be the one-off. Oh, man, I was at Linda's and the shit, I went Hideo, man.
Let's see. Let's let the people know how we spell it.
Hideo. Hideo.
Okay.
Very simple. It's going to catch on like wildfire.
Okay.
Went Hideo last night, boys.
Your mouth to God's ear, bud. Hey, yeah. Let's wrap up this episode.
Boys, Hideo.
Let's wrap up this episode by asking the buds. I saw someone express concern that this TV pilot might ruin what is already a good thing.
Yeah.
We are committed to trying to use a television platform as a way to enhance, not alter or change the podcast. But we have so many characters that lend themselves to being seen visually. Like Andrea and Laramie, I'd love to see their world. Donovan mm-hmm. and Phil, I'd love to see them on camera. Gordon, Bernie even. Joe yeah. and Gino. We have so many yeah. characters that are easily translatable to TV.
And the whole point of it is, I mean, we're doing it together. It's not like we're getting, you know, thrown into a room with a bunch of different people. That's not the case. It's our vision and enhancing our vision only. So, yeah. And we only do this because it's fun, and we're going to take the same approach to the television. So
totally. Yeah. And I think it's important to say that the TV show ultimately would be the same combination that the podcast is, which is some characters, some just silly games, and some chat, maybe a bit of animation.
Yeah.
But we can have on the show a serious conversation about mental health mm-hmm. In the same way that we can on the podcast, and we can just jump into Andrea and Laramie the same way we do on the podcast too. So our intention is not to abandon what we've built, but in fact to just keep building it.
That's right, bot.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Phil?
Yeah?
Do you want to take us out then, yeah?
Sure, man. You know, I'm getting paid. I'm here for another 5 minutes.
Just do a couple of... Well, let me find a song for you real quick, yeah?
Yeah, no problem, man. You know how I am.
Maybe a movie
just,
trailer.
Just,
song.
Like, don't... No more sneaky stuff, because I've been getting in trouble, man. Like, Rick Allen... I was in a bar with him last week, and he, like, grabbed me by the neck and threw me against the wall. He's like, the fuck are you doing playing on my records?
What for?
Huh?
What for?
Because you had me in and playing over...
Don't worry about Rick Allen, love. He's only teasing.
Yeah. He wasn't teasing when he almost smashed a beer over my head.
Oh, smashed a beer over your head. Phil, you're getting soft on me. You're getting you soft like on me.
I was at the Royal Trust concert, and Phil Collins, same thing, man. He wouldn't even look at me.
I'm going to fire up some Rick Astley. I feel like it could use some Phil. It's a track called Together Forever. It's close, yeah, but I feel like it needs you. Don't be shy.
Okay.
We're rolling. We are recording. Da-ba-da-da. Again, don't be tasteful. I can take out anything that doesn't work, yeah?
Okay, man.
Here comes the chorus. I don't want to hear any lyrics during the chorus. 4, 3, 2, 1. A bit louder if you could, yeah? It's not working. We'll try it again next week, yeah?
Okay, man.
Hey, Phil?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Boom, gang, 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 gang